Welcome to Entrepreneurhood, where we break entrepreneurship down into three simple pillars: business, lifestyle, and motivation. Our goal is to use our personal experiences as industry leaders to guide and inspire young entrepreneurs to see the lesson in every challenge. Because we understand that companies don't succeed, people do. Now, welcome the leaders of Entrepreneurhood, Lay Kim and KB.
Welcome to the neighborhood. We got Lay Kim in the building, and obviously I got my brother KB in the building with me. We on episode 9 right now, and we decided to call this one, Quitting is Easy. So we know as entrepreneurs, we decide to take the most rockiest path to success, and we know it's easy to give up sometimes. So KB got a quote, and he's going to let y'all know why we decided to choose this episode.
The moment you give up is the moment you let someone else win. And that was said by the Black Mamba himself.
R.I.P. Kobe.
And to dig a little deeper, I think Kobe is referring to your inner thoughts, the bad ones at that. Because when you quit, you let those thoughts overcome your current circumstances. Like, you might struggle and fail multiple times, but never quit upon your dream.
Yeah, nah, that's true. That's so true, because number one is coming from the GOAT, Kobe. So, like, that's enough in itself. But it's so easy. It's so easy that when something doesn't go the way you want, it's just like, yeah, I didn't want to do it in the first place.
Yeah. I believe, like, this topic is very important for people to see that, you know, it's a part of the process. And we are viewed as successful entrepreneurs by our peers, but they don't really know about our struggles. They see our highlights. And they see the things that we post on Instagram, but they don't know, like, really behind the scenes. And I think we can really get to touch on that aspect of it.
Yeah, and behind the scenes is where all the success is really happening, because what people don't see on the surface is what most people aren't willing to do, because it's so difficult, man. It's so difficult when people don't see what's going on. It's like, they've always had it easy, or it's easy being KB, is easy being Lay. And it's like, nah, man, it's a lot that doesn't meet the eye.
That's true. I read something one time where it said, character is what you do when no one is watching. And I think about those nights where I'm up studying, trying to figure out, you know, the next workout plan I'm going to do, how I'm going to put these pieces together, how to try to study these different stocks. And it's like, I'm doing that when, you know, no one is watching. But when people see you post your gains, you know, the profit you made, you know, it's good to see that, but they don't see the backstory of how much work you put into to make that, you know, one particular play.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've ever seen this iceberg artwork where on the top, the iceberg seemed really small, and then at the bottom, it says hard work, discipline, success, sacrifice, and the list goes on. But that's what this topic makes me think of, is on the surface, it looks cool. But on the bottom, it's like, yo, that look messy.
Yeah, bro. I've definitely seen that. And that's one of the things I always keep in the back of my mind when I feel like quitting and giving up. Like, one of the reasons I think people quit is that they fail once and they never start again.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, for example, when people work out and they realize it's hard, they just like, I can't do this again. But they want results, but they're not willing to go through the pain to achieve those results.
I think that's a huge part, because it's like, you know, when you try something, you can't expect to be an expert at it. There's no one that's ever obtained success in a day, in a week, in a year. Like, it don't happen like that.
Yeah, and if it does happen, it's luck, and you won't know how to cultivate that again.
Yeah, you can't replicate it. If you aim for perfection, I feel like it's going to stop you from completing it, because you're going to try to adjust, fix this, fix that before you ever get it out.
I just thought of a quote real quick. If you aim for perfection, you leave no room for progression.
Ooh. Hey, hold on. So was that one self-made?
That was self-made just now. Just made that just now. Fresh off the press.
Yo, bro, like, and think about that. If you aim for perfection, you know, there's no room for progress. And I think that's what life is. Life is all about trying to make progress. And if you eliminate that, then what you working toward?
Facts. And it's like, that's part of everything. And you just got to roll with the punches and become, continue to be better and work out your craft. What's the second problem that we have that people quit so much?
So the second reason of why we feel like a lot of people quit is they only see the failure, not the lesson. And when I say that, the first thing that comes to mind is when people are going downhill, they forget to enjoy the process, or they forget to understand that it's going to get bad before it gets good. And most people jump out before it ever gets good.
True. I learned that in the stock game as well.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of dips in life, but it's always an uptrend in life. If you have certain values that you live by, it's always going to bounce back. And I feel like when you change your perspective, that shifts your whole energy towards everything. Because I was one of those people where I always try to figure out why did this happen? Why? Always trying to get to the bottom of it. But I never wanted to live through to figure out my why. And I think a lot of times we have to live through our current circumstances, and then we can look back in retrospect and see why it didn't happen.
Yeah. Everything we do, whether we do good or we do bad, it's a lesson. And if you miss that part of it, then you miss the whole process. So I think that part is big, and I can't wait to talk more about that.
The third problem we have is they feel like they need to have it all figured out before they start. That is just senseless in a point where that stops people, a lot of people from starting. You know, we talk about entrepreneurship is hard already, but people think they're going to get entrepreneurship just by watching, you know, one YouTube video. And it's not that simple. Like, you actually have to go about it and do, and you have to make, you know, corrections along the way. So those one of the reasons I definitely think a lot of people, you know, they make quitting very easy.
Yeah. And this one resonates with me the most because I see this so much. I see this so much in entrepreneurs, people that I coach, people that I know, and they have this great idea. And they're just like, yeah, before I get it out, I need to fix this. I need to fix that. I need to fix this. And it's like, no, like, you're going to delay your growth by taking so long just to get it out there. Sometimes the biggest thing is just get it out to the world, get some feedback, make the adjustments, and then you keep pushing.
Yo, I had an inquiry the other day, right? One of the people online, they wanted to, you know, get in shape. She wanted to slim down. She was tired of looking how she looked. She wanted to get a bigger butt. She wanted a smaller waist. So I'm like, all right, cool. I got the perfect plan for you. Get the Team KV app. So when we inquire, I'm like, yo, why you didn't start? And she was like, oh, I got to get my blender. I got to get my waist trainer. I got to get my yoga mat.
Oh, my gosh.
And then she planned to do that 2 months ago. She never got those things, and she never started working out, period. So I'm like, yo, you have to start. You have to have, you know, things in motion, and then you could get those certain things that's going to help accelerate your success. But you can't just say, I have to get this, and never get in game. And I feel like that a lot of people deal with that issue where they feel like they need all these different materials and resources before they actually can start their plan.
A lot of thoughts just came to my mind from hearing that story. And it's kind of like the person that, like what you said, before they work out, they got to get their sneakers. They got to get the new leggings. They got to, you know, the workout shirt. They got to do the headband. They got to get all of these things before they work out. That's not going to make you work out. And even if it does, it's going to be so short-lived that you work out once and you're back to your old version of yourself. And now you out of the $200-$300 you did to start it up.
Yeah. So you're broker and you're bigger.
And I think, like, bro, it's so true. So what I really want to do now is I want to share with our listeners just some of our experiences, man, because if you haven't thought about quitting something, it's actually more unusual for that to happen because it's just a part of figuring out what you want to do.
Have you ever found $40 in your favorite jeans? It probably got you hype, right? Yeah, I know the feeling. That's exactly what happens when I check my DigiCount every month. In 2019, I was able to pay down $10,000 in debt without even thinking about it, thanks to DigiApp. It's an online automated savings account where it helps you pay for your next vacation, credit card, or even just for a rainy day. And on top of that, they give you 1% of bonuses every 3 months just for saving your own money. If you need help with saving or budgeting, please click the link in our show notes for details. You get paid $5 today just for signing up with Entrepreneurhood.
Now, I got a question, bro. Why do you think most people quit? Like, from your experience, training, real estate, just everything you've been through, what have you seen of why people quit?
They get frustrated because it's not panning out how they had it in their head. So, you know, they come to me because they see the amazing results. and I post the amazing results. But at the time, but I always post the story behind the amazing results. And I think people don't really read the story and really understand that, you know, a lot of people was a struggle. So just because someone got results in 4 weeks doesn't mean they wasn't struggling to even start in the first place. And it doesn't mean that they didn't struggle during that whole process. So I think people get caught up in, you know, it being 1, 2, 3. And when they get down to it, it's like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So that's my take on that.
Yeah. And to add, that's exactly what I wrote down. I said, I think most people quit when their expectations are different from their results. So they go into something saying that I want to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But then when the results is different than what they thought it was going to be, then they're like, nah, I don't want to do this no more.
Definitely true. So, Lay, you ever started something and quit on the same day?
On the same day? I don't know, man. I can't. To quit on the same day, I think anything I've ever done, I've probably given it at least like 2 or 3 days. Like, if there's people out there quitting the same day, like, that's crazy. So, I mean.
Nah, I'm one of those people.
Oh, damn. Well, give me some time to think about it. What have you quit on the same day you started? Because I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember, but when we tried to do rollerblading, and that didn't work out too well. I said, nah, this is not for me. I'm done.
Yeah, I can feel that. I definitely see, like, why, you know, a person will quit if it's, like, challenging at the first time you're doing it. So if you put it in like that, maybe the one thing that comes to mind is me trying to learn how to swim. Like, the idea is, you know, my thoughts are, like, when I was trying to learn how to swim, I just was like, yo, I want to get in the water. I'm going to just run for it. And I just ran. So when I was a kid, I went to the beach one time. And my mom was like, yeah, we're going to the beach. We're going to have some fun. I'm like, all right, cool. And my mom never taught me how to swim. No one ever taught me how to swim. So I saw the water. I got super excited. And then I just ran full speed, like I was running a suicide in basketball. And I just dived. I dived right into the water, bro. And I don't know what I was thinking or what was going on in my brain, but I went in and I just went straight to the bottom.
You took a big risk with that.
I just ran for it, bro.
See, like, my swimming story was a little bit different. Mine was a little more calculated risk. So I saw a movie. And they were showing people how to swim. So I figured, I remember what I did, what I saw in the movie. And when I got in the pool, I went to the 3 feet part first. And then I was trying, but I just kept failing. I kept failing. And I almost drowned one time.
In 3 feet?
No, not in 3 feet. But years later, I almost drowned in a wave pool.
Okay.
But I was still persistent. And then I end up. Kept trying, and I ended up teaching, you know, learning how to swim in Myrtle Beach. I'll never forget it. I went probably like 4 or 5 feet, but that was 4 or 5 feet I was waiting 15, 20 years for. The second thing is, I used to see the failure, not the lesson. That's a big thing for me because, like I said, I'm very analytical, so I'll always try to outthink the situation. But instead of me focus on the results I didn't get, I should have focused on my process of, you know, what can I do better and how can I look at things differently and what did, you know, I achieve throughout the time span. And that's one of the things that I really had to think about. For example, like real estate. I know what I need to do. I know how to sell. It shouldn't be that hard getting somebody a house, you know, getting what they want. They tell me what they want. They tell me the price range. I look up the house. Boom, I should get the sale. Totally opposite. It took me 4 months to get my first deal. So it was so frustrating to me because I was comparing real estate to training. Because if I took somebody today to train, then they eventually going to start tomorrow.
Yeah.
But with real estate, it's a different ball game. It's a different process. It's a much larger investment somebody's putting in, money and time. So being that I wasn't getting the results that I planned to receive, I was like, I'm going to sell 2 houses my first month. It took me 4 months to get that first deal. So it's just like I had to change my perspective and how I was seeing things, and I had to change how I was going about, you know, talking to people. So you got to look at it as a lesson, not a failure.
And that's the worst. That's the worst is like when you're working to sell a house and then someone keep asking you when you know you ain't sell nothing and you like, it's coming, it's coming.
Yeah, it make you feel like it's a joke almost. Like you're doing all these different calls, you're going to different, you know, houses, you're going to different open houses, you're going to different showings, you set an appointment. It make you feel like you're wasting your time and energy for nothing because you're not getting immediate results.
That's true. And I feel like for me, man, with turning my L's into lessons, that's happened so many different situations in my life. So it goes back to like every experience, man. So coming up, like learning how to do sales, learning from the money that I lost. There's so many different things because I'm grateful. I'm so, so grateful of like all of the failures that I have because I keep preaching it to everyone, bro. And anyone's listening, my message is just try it all, bro, because by you trying it, it's going to allow you to know what you're good at and what you're not good at a lot quicker than most people. Most people, they tiptoe into everything, and you don't want to be tiptoeing when you're 40 or 50. So like some of my experiences that allow me to turn a big failure into a lesson, sometimes when you work towards hitting a goal, right, and I'm really big on setting goals and going after it, I've had so many situations where I've hit a goal when I told myself I wanted to, but I wasn't ready for everything that was going to come with it. So because of that, like I failed hard. I failed really, really hard. And it was because I didn't give myself enough preparation to be ready for what the next step had in store for me. So I think most people, man, you got to understand that there's value in each step of the way.
Yeah, and he's not lying. This is a man that has, what, 15 jobs before you was 23?
Yeah, bro. Like, so, I've got it all.
He's a full, you know, true advocate of that. He's not just, you know, saying that in so many words. He's a person that tried everything to a point I'm like, yo, bro, what does your W-2 say?
I think it's the Jamaican in me, man. You know, they always say, like, you work hard like a Jamaican, and like, yeah, that's really in my blood.
Yeah, job after job, job after job. And then he gets the job where it's 100% commission. And if you don't sell, you don't eat. I think that's the most ironic part.
Yeah, like, and it's crazy because, again, everything prepared me for it. You know, all of the different experiences I had, I feel like prepared me. And then that's why I thoroughly believe anyone that's when you're going after something, we eat what we kill as entrepreneurs. You know, we say that all the time, but I'm telling you, man, imagine that, like working, putting yourself in all these different situations to get a job where if you don't perform, you don't get paid. Like, how easy do people think it is to quit something like that? One of the big things that come to my mind of like when I wanted to quit or when I did quit was in college, man, it hurt my heart when I quit basketball. And I told myself that by me quitting, the next thing that I do, I'm going to stick with it until there's nothing left in the opportunity. So as long as I have opportunity in what I'm doing, I'm not going to stop.
So what's one of the reasons that you quit basketball?
I think the main thing for me of like why I quit was because I felt underappreciated, and I just felt like I knew what I was worth, you know? And like I said, I hate being treated like a scrub. Like if you treat me like a scrub, I want to fight you. So it was a huge part of my ego.
AKA, he wasn't getting any minutes.
Exactly. It's like, yo, if you're not going to put me in the game, you attacking my ego. And where we from, our pride is a big representation of who we are. And when you strip that away from me, it's like I had nothing left. So I was just like, I'm done.
All right, let's touch a little deep on that because that is a big moment, you know, from where we're from to say, like, you're going to quit the basketball team. How did you feel being around your peers knowing, like, this is it for me? I know, you know, they had different things that they were saying about you and things that could, you know, discourage you and kick you while you're down. So how was that process just letting everybody know, like, I'm done with this?
It was a lot of thoughts going through my head. I was thinking that they're going to judge me. They're going to think that I'm weak. And they're going to think I knew he wasn't good enough. Those are all the thoughts going through my head. So I just had to first commit that I wasn't going to continue playing, then just let everything else happen the way it was supposed to.
I asked that too, because that's very similar to me when I decided to quit school. And I said, I'm not going to go to school for marketing because I don't like the setup they have for me. I'm not going to spend money and trying to figure it out. I'd rather wait, figure something out, and then go into a different type of craft. So when I quit school, people counted me out. You know, they looked at, oh, you're just going to be a bum, or, you know, you're not going to have any money, you're not going to have no true success. Because people just think once they get a degree, like, you know, it's bells and whistles and unicorns. Whereas really, you know, loans, rent, and your mom trying to kick you out. So I experienced the same type of thing as far as in how are people going to look at me. Because people go to backstory from high school, you know, I was a 90 average student athlete. So your 90 average ideal student is quitting at St. John's University is red flags up.
Yeah.
Like, you got a baby, you know, on the way. Like, people ask me weird questions. I'm like, nah, I'm just not doing this. I just don't feel like it's right for me. And, you know, it was one of the best decisions I ever made. I'm pretty sure you could agree with you quitting basketball was one of the best decisions you ever made.
Yeah, and it really was. But in the moment, you don't feel like that. In the moment when you quit something, you do not feel like it's the best decision. Like, I think, I don't know if you felt this, but during the moment, I was like, this might be the worst decision, you know, because it's like growing up, that's all we did. You know, everyone knew that I wanted to play college ball, and I hit that goal, and that was the dream. Again, my expectations was different, just like what I said earlier, bro. It's like the reason why I quit was my expectation was different from my results. So when my coach didn't see the value in me, and I knew that I didn't want to play basketball under his leadership anymore, I used it as motivation. And maybe I shouldn't have did this, but I told myself, I'm going to quit the team and I'm going to be more successful than this coach. And then I'm going to hit him up a couple years later and I'm going to make him regret not making me be on the team. You know, and like that was like my thought process, and it's probably backwards, but it was just like, that's what motivated me to find something and master it.
Coach, you heard that? No, but I definitely get what you're saying, bro. Like, you give you that extra chip on your shoulder to, you know, to be successful and to go after it.
This one's for the neighborhood. Since you're listening to podcasts, you must love audio. So how about KB and I give you a free audiobook with a 30-day trial with Audible? The best part is that if you've never had Audible, you can cancel at any time and still keep the book. Now that's free game. I recommend listening to Sell or Be Sold by Grant Cardone. This book introduced me to why sales was such an important part of life. Now, click on the link in our show notes to get your free book and support the show.
I used to feel like I need to figure everything out from the start. And when it came to certain things, even when it came to something simple as video games, I'm like, yo, I'm gonna read the book. I'm gonna read the book and I'm gonna become great because I already know all the controls.
Yo, no, bro, now that you say that, that definitely makes me remember. You was always that dude that before you played the game, you was always reading the manuals. And I'm like, what are you doing, bro?
I seen the opportunity. I want to know about all the different features that people wasn't willing to do. So I used to think my analytics would be my strategy so I could overcome, but it comes down to shit.
That's a huge part of it. So there's listeners out there that have different thoughts, right? And their idea is like, yo, I got this cool idea. I'm trying to get it out there. But before I get it out there to the public, I need to master it. I need this to be exactly what I have in my head before I allow anyone to see it. So my question for you is, did you feel like you had training figured out before you started training people?
Hell no. I knew how to make people sweat. Yeah, but even to the first beginning of times, I didn't even want to train Michelle at all. And I told her, I was like, yo, I don't know what I'm doing. She kept asking me. I'm like, yo, I know how to get abs. And that's pretty much about it. And she's like, well, can you show me? I'm like, I don't see how that can happen. So when it came down to it, I was sharing her what I know. And I started, you know, doing more research about it. And thank God for Michelle, because I probably wouldn't have been going hard for training if she wasn't pestering me from the beginning.
Yeah, and it sometimes takes one person to see a little bit of value and just say, yo, I want to see what you could really offer. And that's crazy that she's still a part of your story till today.
Yeah, and to look at it in retrospect, all right, this is the example of how I used to train. I used to start in the gym and Planet Fitness. And then when I couldn't afford to play my Planet Fitness membership anymore, the $20 a month, I know. I couldn't afford to pay no more. We had to, you know, train outside. And shout out to the manager that was letting me go for like 6 months without paying.
At Planet Fitness?
Yeah.
Oh, dang. You was well connected, bro.
Relationships is everything. So when it came down to it, and I had to train outside, not by choice, I had to. So when we was outside, I didn't have money for equipment. I owe people money, I owe credit card money, I owe, you know, Discover money, Planet Fitness money, I owe T-Mobile money. So we outside, I'm like, yo, y'all can order a yoga mat or get it from Marshall's or Walmart. And it's like, what we gonna do? I'm like, we're gonna use the bench. It's like, you got no weights? I'm like, nah. So I'll wait after a week, after I get some money, I'll take my profits and I'll reinvest it and get one resistant bench.
Entrepreneurhood.
So, I was trading two friends at one time, so it made me more creative. So I had one person working with one band, and I had another person doing another exercise. And as I look at retrospect, it's like, yo, me being limited made me more creative. And I think we get so caught up, oh, I got to have this and I got to have that. You're not going to appreciate what you have until later on. But if you appreciate everything you have in front of you, then, you know, things will change.
Man, that's true. That's true. And the big thing that we want people to know is sometimes you just got to go, man. Like, just get started and receive the feedback, make the adjustments, and keep building. Like, have you ever had any situations on the come up where you had to fake it until you made it?
Every situation.
I feel that, bro.
It's one of those things where, you know, you got to smile when your world is upside down. They have a few memes about that where, like, the house is on fire and you're like, yo, I'm good. I'm cool. But your house is on fire and it's not lying to yourself, but you know it's not going to always be like this. And you imagine, like, how it's going to be when this is over. So, like, for example, when I was modeling, one of the photographers I worked for with, she said, yo, smile. I'm like, I'm broke right now. I can't even smile. Like, I could do the cool face. Yo, smile. We doing a commercial print. Smile like they gave you that $10,000 check. And I'm like, what?
Oh.
And she said, yeah, smile like they gave you the $10,000 check already. And boy, I started cheesing. That whole process is like, yo, you got it. You got to fake it until you make it. And, you know, if you give off that energy and that expression, then that's people be attracted to in the commercial modeling world. And that was a dope perspective. And I always stuck with me.
Yeah. See, whoever that lady was, bro, she was a genius because she painted a picture. And once you envision yourself with that 10 bands, your whole attitude was different, bro. And I feel like for me, I've had so many situations where I've had to fake it until I made it. Like, I could think my first 6 months in business, and I thought I was rich with $10,000-$12,000. And in business, because you come from the hood, you don't have no money. You see 10 bands and you think, yo, I'm good. So I'm operating my business and the money is going down. It started at 10, then it went to 9, then it went to 5, then it went to 3, then it went to 1,000. And then before I knew it, I was in the negative. And I was like, I didn't even know a bank account could go negative $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000.
That's scary.
Yo, like, in my head, I'm telling my employees, yo, everything is going to be good. Everything is going to be good. And every morning before I run my meetings, I look at my email and I see negative $5,000. And it was so stressful because I'm like, how am I going to get out of this? And how am I going to lead these people when I'm negative $5,000 in the hole after only being in business for 5 months? That's faking it until you make it.
And you got to be the leader to motivate people to sell. Yeah, that's tough. That's something takes a lot of courage to do that.
Yeah, I was scared. I was like, I was unmotivated. Like, everything that a person is experiencing right before they quit was everything that was in my head. The difference between an entrepreneur and someone who's just testing the waters is an entrepreneur has a big why. And quitting is when you're passionate about something, but then things get hard so you stop trying. And I really cared. Like, I really wanted to have a business. That was my goal. That was my dream. And I was passionate about it. So I refused to give up. And I changed my situation. And then 6 months from being in negative 5,000, you know, I was able to turn things up, and I was able to put $10,000 in my business account after being negative 5,000 in the hole.
That's beautiful, man. And this is the best part that we get to tell you guys, because we've been through, you know, quitting stories, you know, just like you have. But, you know, we decided to keep going. But it's how you lock in and how we keep going. And we want to leave you guys with some takeaways, some keys that you can endure during your process where you feel like quitting. Because I'm pretty sure when you're negative 10,000, you had to be in front of some type of content to uplift you every day.
Absolutely.
So for me, one of the things I did was to show gratitude and being thankful for where you at and how far along you came in your journey since you started. For example, when I had 10 clients, and maybe 5 of them were consistent, and maybe 2 of them was paying top dollar, I was appreciative of it. Because me looking back where I didn't have any clients for the week, or I had 1 client for the week, and that was, you know, $6, that made me more appreciative of where I'm at. So I'm not where I want to be having 50 clients, but if you appreciate the 10, then, you know, you show gratitude in your process, in your journey, you give yourself some credit. So a practical thing that I do is I made a list of 25 things that I'm grateful for when I felt like quitting.
And that's big, you know, because having an attitude of gratitude is a huge part of sticking to something, even when things look unclear. Another thing that comes to my mind with a takeaway that I really want the listeners to resonate with is, remember this: most people quit prematurely, which leads to regret. One of the things that I heard is that if you spend a day in a nursing home talking to elderly people, the elderly people will never tell you about the things that they regret doing. They only tell you about the things that they regret not doing in their youth. And that's a big thing that I think about, is like, I'm going to push through and I'm going to try everything that my gut tells me to do, because if I quit and I don't know what the outcome could have been, that's going to be one of the toughest things for me to process, because I'm always going to think, what if I didn't quit? What would that have been? I can't quit something prematurely if it means something to me.
What I tell myself is that if I quit now, then you guys will never know my story.
Wow.
Or would even care about my story. And I always look at myself, you know, I always refer back to movies and, you know, different forms of art. But for majority of the time, if you're a superhero, you know, protagonist is in the story, they don't usually die. And if they do die, it's probably after a few seasons. But the whole aspect of it is that you understand that they're entertaining you to show you how the hero came about the circumstances, how you overcame the villain. And I think a lot of times you have to visualize yourself as the hero and your circumstances are the villains. I look at it as just pure entertainment, like, oh, wow, okay, cool. My lights is off. Okay, cool. My phone bill is due. It's all entertainment, because when I actually get to my point a couple years down the line, I could tell people about my story and they could resonate with it. For example, like we get to talk with you guys. If I would have quit before, you want to listen to KB and Lay Entrepreneurhood? We just have been some regular Joe Smo guys. And I think you gotta look at it like that. If you quit now, then nobody's going to know your story.
That's so true. You know, like, I always tell people that you're building your story. So what do you want your story to be? I'm going to give them one tip that comes to my mind on just how to reduce yourself from giving up. Number one, set your goals really big, but plan for a few roadblocks. Anything I do now, I plan for at least one thing to go wrong. So when something does go wrong, I'm prepared for it. You can't set a goal to accomplish something and think everything is going to be smooth sailings, because that's not life.
Now, I like that. If you implement your worst case scenarios a part of your plan along with your best case scenarios, then that's a good strategy.
You'll see both sides of the equation and you're not going to be blindsided. So that's why I recommend that to our listeners.
I really do like that. That's pretty dope. I never put my worst case scenario inside of my goal planning. I just had it in my head, like, if I don't only have, you know, 2 clients, then that's worse, but I don't want that. To put that part of my goals, I think that's a different perspective. And fortunately enough, you might never even hit that low point.
Yep. Another thing too that really helped me reduce the chances of me quitting is I set quarterly goals. So with setting quarterly goals, bro, I remember me and you were just talking about this a few nights ago, but I set my goals every quarter. A quarter breaks down into 3 months. So every 3 months, I envision exactly what I want to do for Q1, Q2, Q3, and Q4. And the way that I set my goals is I set what I'm going to do, I set how I'm going to do it, and then I always remember my why behind it. You know, one of the things that I teach is I set SMART goals. So all of my goals, I give myself a time frame. I make it specific. I make it measurable. I make it attainable, timely. Forgot the R, but realistic. So those are all elements on setting effective goals or things that I do because I don't want to give up and I don't want people to give up. So it gives me clarity.
And when he says sets them, like he sets them and puts them everywhere in his house. So yeah. He would never miss them. Like in the bathroom, in the living room, in the dining room. You got it in the car too?
Nah, not in the car. I got it on the refrigerator.
Oh, you don't want to put it in the bins. That's definitely a great thing. And I'm going to take it to the next level and having my goals in different places. So most of my goals are in my phones or in my on my whiteboard. So what I like to do, I try to refer back to them every time I check something off. I literally go check it off just to get that release of dopamine that I accomplished something. Once you go back and you check off goals, it just gives you so much confidence to even achieve bigger goals in the process. And then there's a lot of times where you might not hit something, but you're still enjoying the journey, like how we were talking about earlier. The biggest thing for me that I use during a quitting phase is content and motivational content.
Yeah.
I'm watching Tony Robbins, Gary Vee, Brendon Burchard, TD Jakes. I'm watching these people for motivation, also inspiration in the morning. I try to start my day with it. And even the music that I'm listening to, I'm making sure I'm listening to content that's uplifting. Like we all like turn up, which is cool, but I like listening to something that's going to get me motivated through my situation. So a lot of, you know, Soul Tape by Fab, Ace Hood.
Yeah.
I'm listening to these certain songs that's going to get me going and get me to push to do something. And I actually have true meaning. Like, so what kind of content? I know what you like, but let's tell listeners what you love listening to every morning.
You know, my music choice is really bad. I listen to stuff from early 2000s still. Or I'm like listening to Drake. So
what about E.T. though?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. So, like, I listen to, man, I've been listening to E.T. every single day since I was 17, 18 years old. So, like, I listen to that stuff nonstop. And I'm telling you, like, there's clips on YouTube that I could pull up that E.T. said, and I could say it word for word like it's a movie. And that's the difference, is most people, they remember songs, movie scenes. I remember, like, motivational clips word for word. But my biggest thing that I'm going to implement all 2020 is my positive affirmations. And the reason why my positive affirmations are so important to me is because I'm going to brainwash myself to take calculated risk, and I'm going to live with the results. So I'll share with everyone three of my positive affirmations so you could grasp the concept. So one of my positive affirmations is I never lose. I either win or I learn. My second positive affirmation is my confidence is contagious. And my third one is my confidence is what gives people hope. I tell myself that every single day before I start my day, and I tell myself that every single night before I go to sleep, because I refuse to give up, because I know that by me continuing to push, the other side is going to be where the money is.
I like that. And as you say that during the down days, and you keep repeating it, and then when you have the greater days, it just gives you even more confidence that you said it when, you know, things were going wrong.
Yo, so KB, what would you say some of the final takeaways that you got for our listeners?
I would say as entrepreneurs, you must understand that failure is a part of the process. If you want to continue to strive for your goals and dreams, You must work at it, even when you don't feel like you're good at it, even when, you know, your world's upside down. You must continue to grow. You must continue to show gratitude wherever you at in your journey. Continue to set your goals. Please keep positive affirmations and content in front of your face on a daily basis. It's going to be your fuel to get you through your darkest nights, your horrible mornings. So for my entrepreneurs out there, keep striving, keep going. Quitting is not an option. Entrepreneurs.
Anyone can start, but only champions finish. Now that you've completed this episode, you're ready to continue your journey by connecting directly with our hosts of Entrepreneurhood. Follow us on Instagram at The Entrepreneurhood to stay updated with the community. For each episode, the first set of listeners to tag us on Instagram and leave a 5-star review will be entered into a drawing to get a free 1-on-1 coaching session on the topic of entrepreneurship with our hosts. Remember, there is no shame in struggling, because we fail, we grow, and we win. Right here on Entrepreneurhood.